In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We do not oftentimes spend the time discussing the fact that a great deal of our lives should be given over to contemplation, not just the act of meditation, thinking about our relationship with God and resolving how we might better live that relationship, but the act of contemplation itself, spending time in the presence of God because God is worthy of having us be with Him, pure and simple. The act of contemplation is our deepest desire and the direction of our hearts, for that is, after all, what heaven will be, contemplating, seeing, being with God face to face for all eternity. But since we are predisposed and built for that in this life, it needs to begin. And the Advent season, as we begin this new year of grace and favor, is a wonderful opportunity to do precisely that, to contemplate the mysteries of the Incarnation and what it is that God has done for us in becoming one with us in all things but sin. We often spend a great deal of energy as to how I might respond to that, how I might live out of the relationship, and that is indeed valuable, but it should be preceded by simply spending time giving thanks to God in that act of contemplation as to what it is that has been done for us. God becomes man, takes on the frailty of the human condition in order that we might be set free from the slavery to sin. Because God is indeed omnipotent, there are a multitude of ways that the salvation of mankind could have been accomplished. We don't know what they are because what we have before us is that which the ancients describe as the fitting way that God chose to redeem mankind. Since we know that sin entered through a man, it seems meet and just that redemption also would come through a man. And as our first parents rebelled against God, so our Blessed Mother and our Lord regenerate, recapitulate, give us new life. And these days of our Advent season are set before us to simply contemplate and rejoice on our unworthiness, but also the gift that is bestowed upon us. In 1,000 generations, we would never have conceived of such a great conceit that God would leave His heavens and choose to make His dwelling among us. But that is precisely what it is that happens. And because of that, the Lord enjoins us to put aside fear. I don't know why, but we are oftentimes afraid of what will be, of what might be. Oftentimes that fear is unfounded, but because of the world in which we find ourselves today, there are legitimate reasons for fear. But the fear should never be crippling, because God has done all the good work. All that is required of us is to cooperate with that in our daily lives, to therefore live as men and women of hopeful expectation and anticipation of sharing in completely and totally the graces that God wishes to bestow upon us. But the question that I oftentimes put to myself in my own prayer, meditation, and contemplation, and the conviction that I ask of myself is, do I truly believe the things about which I pray and preach and teach? Or are they merely simply words? Good words, profitable words. They make me feel better, but do they actually transform my life? And that's not a rhetorical question, brothers and sisters. We must look at our lives and ask, am I transformed? Do I allow myself to be transformed by the mystery of God and His grace? The new year of grace and favor is an opportunity to, in asking that question, make then the necessary commitments that I truly can be convicted of the life of God in Christ. St. Paul, in his exhortation to the Romans, tells us that we are children of light. We are children of the day, not of drunkenness and revelry, debauchery and wantonness. We cannot be children of God, children of Christ, and give ourselves over to sin. We cannot walk in darkness as we seek to embrace light Himself. They simply cannot meet. And the light that is Christ Himself coming into the world overshadows and obliterates the darkness itself. Then we must live in that reality. And so the concrete questions that we must ask as we begin this new year of grace and favor is, what in my life needs to change and be transformed in order that I truly can be a child of light? And you must ask brothers and sisters and then live that, put that into practice. It's not enough simply to ask the question or even to put it out there and then to come up with things to do and then do nothing about it. Because the truth is, God is indeed coming into the world, and our Lord is present to us here and now. And we must be convicted by this reality that is Christ, the Word made flesh. We want the world to change and be transformed. And that is a good and holy desire. But the transformation of the world must always begin and include our own personal transformations. If we are not striving for holiness, if we are not living holiness, if we aren't desiring a courageous life to put out into the deep and trust the Lord, then we cannot expect those who are in darkness, in drunkenness, in revelry, and debauchery, and wantonness. We cannot expect them to walk away. We know the power that sin can have, how just like fear, it can hold us captive. It can knock us off course over and over again. All the more reason to hold fast to the Word made flesh, who is indeed coming among us, who's doing so that we no longer have to remain chained to flesh, but can live as God intended us to live. I genuinely want this for myself, but I want this even more for myself. I want this for all of you. My life is inextricably connected to your salvation. I cannot be saved unless you are also working and cooperating in your own salvation. And so the year of grace and favor that has gone to an end is precisely that. And if it was a year of struggle in your relationship with God, if there were more faults than there were successes, more failings than there were risings, now is a new beginning. Rise from your sleep, shake off your slumber, and begin putting on the new man who is Christ, who chose to take on the human condition to reveal to you that in the flesh you can live rightly with God. The flesh is not our enemy, and the incarnation makes that very clear. But you must cooperate with the manifold graces that are bestowed upon you. There may be an edge of urgency to my preaching this morning. It's because it is always urgent that we be transformed by grace. And the world is in desperate need that is the light of Christ. But if we ourselves, who are indeed children of God, cannot manifest that in our own lives, in our immediate relationships, in the people with whom we work and live, if we cannot do that, it will be difficult for that light to shine. St. Augustine beautifully said, God did not create us with our consent, but God will not save us without that consent. I wish God would simply just save me and make me holy, and I wouldn't have to do any of the hard work. But that's simply not going to happen. You must work with God. But God has given us everything. There's nothing absent or missing. There's nothing that we need to find, no secret knowledge that is remaining out there to be revealed to us. All that is required is we put aside fear and doubt and open our hearts for the coming of the Son of Man in the flesh. Let us walk, the Lord says. Let us live as children in the light, because soon our King will be with us in gladness and in joy. And now with these days of preparation for his coming, let us root out sinfulness in our lives, open our hearts and souls for greater manifestations and gifts of grace, and prepare ourselves indeed for the coming of the Son of Man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.